Now, when we arrived here in Cork yesterday evening, the news about the new guidelines for hospitality and nightlife was only breaking. But already you could sense the party atmosphere that's built up as the city gets ready to celebrate the first jazz festival in nearly 2 years. And walking around last night, it really did feel a lot like the old normal. But with COVID cases growing at a rate of 2 to 3% a day right now, there's a nervousness about too. So I asked some of the people we met how they feel about the changes and who else to check in with first, but a Cork taxi driver we met on Patrick Street.
To be quite honest, I'd be a little bit nervous, especially with the numbers rising.
And here you are, you're driving a taxi, so there's going to be people coming from all over here this weekend.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it's all living, what do we do? But I would say to people, be careful, make sure the hands are washed thoroughly. Make sure you wear your mask. Make sure anybody getting into your cab has a mask as well.
Like, I think it's good, but at the same time, I'm kind of unsure because I feel like the cases will go up higher and higher, and then we might end up back in lockdown by Christmas. Well, for Jazz Weekend and for Halloween and the next couple of weeks, it's going to be absolutely packed. It's going to be like a COVID hotspot for our age group anyways, and I'm only 24, so I just finished college just before COVID, so I would usually be like first into the nightclub, but I'd say for the time being I'll be staying with pubs and like trying to avoid getting COVID.
Guys, would you mind if I asked you a quick question for Morning Ireland?
Yes, it's your
premises.
Very, very nervous. Even just tonight now, we've been very, very busy before the Opera House, checking COVID passes, checking certs, trying to keep everyone safe. I just don't know what's going to be ahead of us for the weekend. All I can say from Jim Cashin's bar, if you don't have a COVID cert, you won't be coming in. This weekend could go pear-shaped for us and we'd be closed for Christmas. Us publicans, we do not want to be closed for Christmas. We need the guidelines to be specific, not 2 days before the event. We need the legislation to be put down in black and white and leave us get on with our lives.
It's to get into weather tunes.
So you girls are out partying for the night?
Yeah. That's the idea anyway. We're not sure what places are actually taking into account the new regulations. I feel like a lot of the bars are actually staying the same for the night and then changing tomorrow, but we're not sure
if
yet.
If there's somewhere open at midnight.
We'll probably be there.
You'll probably be there.
Most likely.
And you're looking gorgeous.
Thank you. You're out
in the town. But are you girls worried about the COVID numbers and what you've been hearing?
Well, definitely. I mean, there hasn't been much talk of it since we've come to college. We thought there would be, like, more of an issue.
We definitely also have, like, the walk-in clinics and everything around, like, the college and stuff like that. So if anybody's ever worried about it, we can go in there to get checked. You know.
And does that make you feel safe coming out tonight?
Yeah.
The fact that you can go and get checked anytime
definitely.
You need to? And come here to me. You know when the Taoiseach says, what normally happens in a nightclub will continue to happen in a nightclub. Do you know what he means?
No, we're not completely sure what's going to happen. Like, I mean, this is kind of our normality now. Like, when they say it's going to go back to normal in a nightclub, we don't know what that's going to be like yet. You know, it's definitely not going to be what it would have been like 2 years ago, I imagine. Like,
good luck, girl. Thank you.
They
were absolutely gorgeous. I hope they had a lovely night. But a sign of the impact of lockdown, these girls didn't know what happens inside a nightclub. It's 16 minutes past eight.
Elation, joy and some caution there from Cork. And there are some sobering numbers on the healthcare side to be considered. We're joined by Paul Reid, the Chief Executive of the HSE. He's in our Sligo studio. And Paul Reid, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mary.
And we heard the excitement of those young girls there. And I know we've heard the anxiety as well from GPs and ICU doctors about the pressures that they and other hospital staff are under. Now, when you take the impact of the latest infection numbers we're seeing, over 2,000 a day, translate into hospital admissions, what lies ahead?
Morning, Mary. Yeah, and it was interesting your earlier Vox Pops as well, and you do get that common thread of apprehension and excitement coming through on all of them today. So that's probably where the whole society feels at the moment. Specifically related to hospitalisations, what we're seeing at the moment, last night's figures came down, thankfully, to about 437 and 88 in ICU. But the reality of that is we know that will grow over the coming weekend and most likely over the coming weeks. If you look at the modelling projections from NPHET, they're forecasting potentially 1,000 people in hospital and 150 people in ICU, which really doesn't look off the wall in terms of what we're seeing, the trends at the moment. So our concern is particularly that lag effect we're all used to seeing, where we have high levels of cases over the last two weeks in particular, and how they will turn into hospitalisations over a coming couple of weeks. But in simple terms, Mary, I'd say a few very simple messages. First of all, I think the last couple of weeks should be a very real rain check for us all. And firstly, for those people who are vaccinated, it is a very strong warning for us all to strengthen. We do have stronger protections because we're fully vaccinated, but we do need to strengthen the basic levels of defences and those public health measures. And if you are unvaccinated, you are at much higher risk. You put your family, you put your friends at higher risk in society. And we are there to answer any of your concerns and encourage everybody in the common good to come forward for vaccinations.
But if those modelling numbers are realised, those numbers you gave us there, and there's no reason to believe they won't, 1,000 in hospital, between 150 and 200 in ICU, what then is your plan?
Well, we've had a number of plans throughout COVID in terms of how we meet rising cases. Nobody expects, based on the levels of protection that we now have in society, to get where we were in January, where we had over 2,000 people in hospital and 220 people in ICU. What we had to do then was completely cease all non-urgent care and non-COVID care, which we know the impacts of. So what we are doing right now as we head in throughout the winter is trying to sustain those levels of actions that in the public ensure that those numbers don't materialise, but from our hospital and healthcare system, a number of actions to continue to work to ensure elective care continues. But as you've seen and as reported this morning, a number of sites are not in a position.
That's right. We're seeing a cancellation of electives already in Limerick and Galway.
Yeah, and our concern as we head into winter, Mary, is a range of factors that are really working against us at the moment. So first of all, we know that we have high numbers of COVID cases and likely to rise. We're also seeing high numbers of people presenting to our emergency departments with non-COVID care, but care that has been neglected for some time, and we're anxious to treat that. Along with that, what we are seeing is early indications of what's called RSV, but simple terms, respiratory illnesses in young children, which is an indication of respiratory illness in the adult population through winter, and then the first identifications of flu coming through. So all of that are a whole suite of measures.
It's you're heading for a bit of a perfect storm there with the infections that you're talking about. At what point, Paul Reid, do you trigger surge capacity?
Well, I think what I want to caution is that its surge is a magic button we press and, you know, we immediately increase all capacity. Well, but what does happen? There's no one single number, Mary, and each hospital has to approach this on a site-by-site basis, and then on a national basis we look at it. But what surge really means is, first of all, from ICU, we have just short of 300 ICU beds. If 150 of those or half of those are taken up through COVID, well then, yes, we have to bring on more capacity, but we equally have to stop some elements of elective care. Surge means redeploying significant elements of our workforce from non-COVID care, closing wards where we would have had emergency or other procedures happening, and moving skilled staff, to increase ICU capacity. So surge is not a magic switch that solves an issue. Surge is a process that strengthens our capacity around COVID.
And would it be fair to say then it cripples other areas of the health service?
It would ultimately if we get there, Mary. But, you know, I would like to say to the public this morning, we can turn this around. You know, the indications of how this turned around in the negative way so quickly, equally we can turn this around in a positive way over the coming weeks. And I know we're all sounding like a broken record going back to the basic measures, but we don't want to see that surge activated. We don't want to see elective care turn back. And the way we know we can address it is, and we know we've all slipped over the last few weeks, just getting back to, as society opens, and we welcome that, getting back to really good public health measures. And it's equally called to enterprise and industry. You know, we individually, we collectively get back to mask wearing in appropriate way, social distancing, cleansing our hands, but equally for industry, making sure, particularly service industry and all industry, making sure that those levels of protection there as people are back in the workplace, making sure the facilities are there. You know, I've seen it, Mary, we've all seen it, people back at workplace, more meetings happening, more people in a meeting room, maybe not the ventilation that should be there. They're basic measures that we can strengthen over the coming weeks to stop this scenario.
How worried are you? And, you know, we're hearing about the Cork Jazz Festival going ahead this weekend, nightclubs back in business, reduced restrictions around the entertainment industry. How worried are you? We heard Mary Favier earlier saying, you know, some people are talking about Christmas all over again.
Yeah, look, it's particularly a concern for the health services heading into winter. It's specifically a concern now as we see the impacts of COVID heading into winter. So yes, that is a strong concern for us. I do equally need to put in context, because throughout COVID, we have seen the wider impacts on the health service through, you know, quite difficult and punitive restrictions that have had to be put in place. So, you know, people's mental health, people's well-being, non-COVID care. So, you know, we obviously welcome that we're in a position for society open further, but we equally would stress it's a really big round check for us all to just manage the opening of society in a very safe way at an individual, collective level, business and enterprise level. You know, so strong concerns as we head into the coming weeks.
And you're encouraging people who haven't been vaccinated to take up the opportunity for vaccination. You also at the moment have 1,800 HSE workers out with COVID-related illnesses. Would you like an early decision from NIAC now on boosters for healthcare workers?
And just briefly on those people who are unvaccinated, it's not one single homogenous group of 370,000 people. So we've a range of initiatives, and I would encourage people, you will see campaigns and initiatives from us throughout the next week for walk-in clinics. We're addressing people in vulnerable areas, pregnancy, fertility concerns that people have, non-English speaking, vulnerable groups, third level colleges. So we've a lot of initiatives, encourage people to take that up, specifically related to people out with COVID. Yes, we have a significant proportion of healthcare staff out. From my perspective, obviously, I'm really anxious to see healthcare workers booster vaccines campaigns. Now, I'll qualify that. I'm not the medical expert on this one, and NIAC are the medical expertise. So they are the ones who are assessing the evidence and evaluating. But certainly from a health service perspective, I would have two concerns. One is for a workforce who may become ill and out sick, and the impacts that has on the health service. And secondly, what we are seeing are emerging outbreaks within healthcare settings. Now, that's a natural function of when it rises in the community. We see outbreaks in hospital settings. But certainly, my role in running the HSE, I'd be anxious to see our healthcare staff receiving booster vaccines. But I always qualify at NIAC. And in fairness to NIAC, all of their decisions is what's resulted in a very strong uptake in the public.
You had good news for maternity services yesterday, saying significant others will be in the labour wards with their partners. Does that mean that local discretion is now gone in the maternity wards around the country?
Yeah, first of all, I want to acknowledge that this has been a concerning issue for young moms, pregnant women and their partners. And we've been very anxious to address any anomalies that have emerged. A range of restrictions were removed between scans, early pregnancy assessment units, emergency presentations, labour ward and the intensive care units. What we have looked at in the past couple of weeks are National Maternity Hospital and indeed Rotunda, who have removed any further restrictions in inpatient areas between the hours of 8 to 8. And we have seen, and working with those hospitals, we haven't seen any rise or impacts. Okay. I will always qualify that, Mary. We do have concerns, and our hospital have concerns, just in terms of there is a lower uptake of pregnant women of the vaccine. We have seen 12 pregnant women admitted to ICU between the period of June to October, and 11 of those were not vaccinated. One was partially vaccinated. So, a strong call to pregnant women as well to seek the guidance of their professional. Yeah, medic.
Paul Reid, Chief Executive of the HSE, thank you.